Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
And I know there's some nervous people out there. James Harden might not get to well.
Really? Nobody's nervous.
He had 13 points at halftime. This could be the game James Harden doesn't get to. But an 11-point third quarter from James Harden has him at 24 points right now. Fourth quarter is just underway in Houston. Harden rested the last minute and a half of the third quarter, so he just needs a couple more phantom fouls. Just needs a couple of more hoops.
There's a phantom foul now on a three-point shot.
Yeah.
How about that? You were complaining. We were in the pre-show watching the game, hanging out, and kind of putting things together. You're like, he's only got six free throw attempts.
Yeah.
Like, give it time.
Yep. Harden doesn't even look like he gets touched, but will go to the free throw line to shoot three as he tries to get to 30 points again. Would be game number 22 in a row. But a bigger number for Harden today, which is, you know, look, we've spent the last few days and couple of weeks talking about Harden and what he can do, the streak to get to 30. I would bet it to get to 30 every night. But a bigger number one out there today is that the over-under for James Harden points in a game now is at an astonishing 42.5. The over-under for Harden for points in tonight's game going in was 42.5. He just sunk his free throws, all three. He now has 27, so he is 3 points away from 30, still with 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So really now it's going to be about, does he get to 42? Does he get that 42.5? Is Harden going to get there?
Yeah, later on tonight we'll have Todd Furman, our buddy from FS1's Lock It In, joins us on the show regularly talking odds and fun and prop bets, and we'll get into a little bit of the Super Bowl stuff. But certainly the James Harden phenomenon and where money and how people are starting to look at this as individual performances, right? We always talk about the odds of winning the ship, but when you start getting on these in-game kind of fun things and streaks, there's a whole other level of action that comes into play.
Now, let me throw this at you. It's a fun Friday night here. Let me throw this. You want to talk about missed opportunities, because you always say, oh, if you had gone to Vegas, if you had bet what you said, you always do that to me.
I do.
Oh, if you had bet what you said.
Well, no, because you complain saying I would have been rich. Like, then go do it. It's a three-hour drive.
But I have said for the last week or so,
yeah,
if you're betting, bet Harden every night to go over 30 points and take that streak all the way to the end of the year. Instead of saying, trying to bet against him, bet that James Harden every single game goes for 30 points and he has the streak alive all the way through the end of the year. Way to make money. Right? Here's a different way. Let's say when he had 30 points five games in a row. Right? Let's say, you know, he had five games in a row and he had 30 points. At that point, you started betting him to score over 30 a game, right? Because the over-under for Harden there was at 30.
Sure. Okay.
Let's say you started with a $5 bet for him to bet over 30 points in a game. And let's say every game you doubled your bet, right? You won, and I'm doubling.
Let
it ride, right? I won five, I got 10. I've got 10, I won 20. I got 20, I won 40. I won 40, I got 80. I got 80, I got 160.
Keep doing that? You're this side of Francesca.
It would take forever to Francesca to get there from here.
8, 9.
I mean, he
10,
counts arithmetically.
Watching him do 13, the math, though, would have been great.
15, 15,
that's
16,
80, 160, 160. I mean, the 23, pace would have slowed markedly.
The difference is he's counting arithmetically, and we do Harden geometrically.
30,
right? So that's the big difference, is that you're going doubling your bet, doubling your bet.
Double up.
Now, obviously, things have changed, especially tonight, 42.5 being the over-under. Oh, thank God that was done.
So,
if you had done that, right, you know how much money you would have right now?
How's that?
You would have $650,000.
Wow.
If you had bet that. And then you let it ride tonight and say, okay, you know what? The official over-under is 42.5. I'll let it ride tonight. Harden has another hot last 10 minutes of this game. and you're sitting at $1.3 million.
You can afford a lot of Super Bowl tickets.
And then can you imagine keep letting it ride after that and 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 ride after that? Can you imagine that kind of money?
That's a lot of riding. And before you know it, you own the Houston Rockets.
Oh, forget the Rockets. That'd be nothing. I could buy the Rockets right now. $650,000 I could buy the Rockets. No, I'd buy the Cowboys. I'd buy the Jets. I'd buy teams that, you know, it's worth billions of dollars.
Look at you.
I could buy the
You're going after Jerry Jones. Would you run it the same way?
I could buy the Rockets for like $4 million.
You being Jerry Jones if you owned an NFL team.
I would want...
As much as you've blasted the philosophies, the theories, or whatever else, you'd be that same guy. I don't need a football guy. I got this.
I want to be a consultant on all moves, and anything involving Sam Darnold goes through me, through my desk, and that's how we're going to do it. All right? And... I want to get every former head coach of the Jets, get him in my office so I can berate them for a good 45 minutes. I'll pay him for their time, but that's what we're going to do. And they would go, oh, my God, who is this guy? And they'd say, well, this guy's fun. Here comes Kotite. Here comes Mangini. Here comes Rex.
I can just see you totally putting on the cowboy hat and looking like the guy from The Simpsons. Yeehaw! And you got the six shooters out. Every time you make some proclamation, you just start shooting off in your office. Yeah, that would be you.
But seriously, that's who you would be at. You would have $650,000 if you wanted to let it ride on tonight's game for James Harden. Again, he's just a couple of points away from 30, and it looks like he's going to go to the free throw line again to get to 30, 8:17 to go in the fourth quarter. And he hasn't been to the free throw line a ton tonight. You know, we joked around the other night about it and how to stop him, and I said, listen, since nothing else is working, defend him on the perimeter, right? You defend him on the perimeter. When he gets by and he gets by the free throw line, let him go up. Don't engage him. Stand your ground. Let him go up and see if he can be as accurate, because this is where he'll run into trouble. And you know what? He's not been to the free throw line a ton tonight, so he's struggling to get to 30. I mean, think about this. This would be a phenomenal game for anybody else, but it feels like Harden is struggling to get to 30 points in this game.
Well, he's 8 of 21 from the field, 2 of 10 from three-point range, but now perfect 10 of 10 from the line with one more coming. That'll give him 29 for the night. Should he make it? And away we go. I mean, that's the thing. He's been averaging 13 free throws a game. So, you know, you've got an outlier here and there where you get to that 18 or 22 or whatever. What was it, 25 the other night? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get one of those. But in general, you know, 13, 14 a game, and he's perfectly on pace. And the one thing that really helped in terms of you bettors out there and investors and, well, interested parties, if you were anywhere near that 42.5, is that Toronto made a game out of this.
Yeah.
Because it ballooned to an 18-point swell for the Rockets pretty early in the third quarter, which could have been, all right, I'm getting 30, I'm out. Right? He could have gone LeVar Ball and walked off. Instead, well, now you've got a chance.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
In addition to James Harden's big night, LeBron James could be a...
Who, me?
Coach killer. Wow.
Killing him softly with his song.
We are once again on Walton Watch 2019. Wow. So you like that now? That's pretty good, isn't it?
I know, it's growing on
me. We'll get more on James Harden coming up in a little bit, but... Earlier today, Jackie McMullen, ESPN reporter, was on the podcast that Brian Windhorst, who has followed LeBron James around for
employee.
The past 15 years.
I'm pretty sure they're dating, right?
Does.
By this time now?
Who? Jackie McMullen and Brian Windhorst?
Or no, Brian Windhorst and LeBron.
Oh, maybe. There's pictures
of them
everywhere.
Since high school.
It has been a minute.
They're wearing each other's pins. He's got my ring. Brian Windhorst podcast.
Jackie, well, did he get a ring the last time they won?
Did he? Or LeBron maybe made him one.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he just gave
did
him
Did he
one.
Get
He's
a B-list?
Ring, yeah.
He got the B-list or the C-list ring?
Yeah. You know, I think he made him a suit. Make you a suit to wear on television. I want you to look
good. There you
good.
Go. Look good.
Jackie McMullen went on the podcast and said that Luke Walton? Yeah. LeBron's got his eyes on him.
It's clear to me and probably to you, Brian, that LeBron's camp would prefer a coaching change. They're not too subtle about that. I don't think that's fair. I don't think
LeBron
it's fair.
LeBron publicly hasn't talked in a month.
But LeBron, but it's all the people around LeBron. Right. There's plenty of them, and they've made it known. I don't think this is a shock, is it, for me to say this? I don't think so.
That's a fair thing to say.
He hasn't talked publicly, but he talks to me every day.
Like the last line. That's fair to say. In other words, I've been told this explicitly, not publicly, but here I am. No, it's like it's a done deal. It's just a matter of when. We're at 15 games. 15 games as of today since LeBron James went out with what was described as a day-to-day injury.
Last night on the show, we joked around and said, well, LeBron James still hasn't come back. He's not coming back till Luke Walton gets fired. And now, look at what we get today. Here's Jackie McMullen saying, yes, LeBron James and his camp would certainly like a coaching change.
When he got hurt, they were in the 3 seed, right?
And now they're 2 games out of the 8th spot. This is where you're at right now. And is it a coincidence? Look, when we said last night, LeBron's, we knew that Luke Walton was going to be fired. We told you this for 2 months. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. It's not if, it's when, because Luke Walton, one, never had the approval of LeBron James. So that's number one. Upset Magic Johnson by running out so many different kinds of lineups and not being able to develop Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. In fact, Lonzo Ball now being out is a huge deal for him because it looked like maybe he was starting to break through, but Brandon Ingram clearly has not, and he has regressed. And now teams are calling, the Lakers offering, hey, here's a couple of guys and spare parts we're going to offer you, and you give us Brandon Ingram. So Magic Johnson's mad. You know this is happening. LeBron hasn't talked for a month. Why? Because he wants a coaching change. Go back to every time LeBron's been on a team where a coaching change is made. Has LeBron ever said anything? No. He does it like the mafia does it in movies. I don't say anything, but it's just going to happen, and then we're moving on. You know he wants a coaching change. He has killed coaches before. You're going to just wait. Ty Lue has got his Laker gear. He's all ready to go. Is it happy yet? Is it yet? Is it now? Is it now? And fair or not, you want to say that, but this is going to happen. And the sooner the Lakers do it, because now we've gone down the road where really you can't expect that Luke Walton's going to save his job. And is LeBron staying out and as the Lakers continue to lose because he wants a coaching change? Before you say, oh, Jason, you're crazy, remember how calculated a guy he is. Remember, he is the most calculated basketball player on the planet. Everything he does has a reason to it. Here's an injury in which now he's been out longer for this than he's been out for any other injury in his life. But this is one that's keeping him out this long. As the Lakers fall, you think he doesn't know they're going to keep losing games and Luke Walton's going to get fired? So maybe his comeback from injury is a little bit slower than it's expected. Before you say, oh, Jason, you're crazy, realize this is LeBron James, the most calculated guy in the world you're talking about.
Game at play, and now he's posting, you know, riding in car and singing with LeBron James about reunions and history and all this other stuff. So, you know, you've got a lot at play. We saw the Rich Paul comment over a week ago, right, when they talked about the injury, very, very much getting angry. You know, we're on our own timetable. Don't you question what we're doing. Like, it was the same day that you had Machado's agent go crazy about the Nightingale and Olney reports about what was being offered. Don't be so mad. It's true. Likewise, Rich Paul, a lot of people raising their hand, go, when's your guy coming back? It's been a minute here, and you're not giving us any truthful updates. And yes, he can work out and he can practice. How long do you have to practice before you can get back and give some meaningful minutes to a team that's clearly floundering and having problems without you? You left Luke Walton out there. Right, this is, you cut this guy loose. He got in trouble.
And when it went bad.
Yes, when it went bad, you cut this guy loose.
You had Mark to sign the phony transfer orders. You had him doctor the logbook.
He didn't doctor the logbook. He just stayed as a DNP injured, and now they're 5-10 in those 15, and they're out of the playoffs, and it's a tough road. That schedule is not friendly the second half of the season for them at all.
No, but they have LeBron James, and this isn't a season in which you look at the Western Conference and you go, you know, in 4 games, we could go from the 9th seed to the 3rd seed. Everybody is bunched together.
Yep.
Nobody's running away with anything. The Warriors at the top, which is where they should be, but you're talking about 8 games from 8-1. Usually it's about 20 games from 8-1 by now. The Lakers win five in a row. They go from ninth and suddenly they're fourth. All right, LeBron knows this. Like I said, he is the most calculated basketball player on the planet. And do you think he's staying out this long? Knowing full well, I got to get back, got to get back. There's been no rush to get back. No. There's been nothing from him saying, I can't wait to get back out there. This is what the doctor's saying. Nothing. We have got nothing from him.
It's a red wine Friday for him tonight.
Nothing from LeBron James.
Yeah, but you don't want to be that eighth seed come the end of the season. No, you don't want to play the Warriors right off the bat.
But that's the other thing is, the likelihood, assuming it's a week or two,
but the more games they lose, though, the better chance of that eighth seed.
Sure, but you're creeping towards the All-Star break. You're going to have the holes in the schedule and what have you. But just the idea being, it also sets him up twofold, right? One, you've got the coaching decision. The other, it sets him up to where he's putting a cape on. He's putting the Superman outfit on. Like, look what LeBron James can do. So it's setting up for another three-month run of everybody kissing his ass. Look at the guys he's carrying, because they couldn't win any game while he was gone. So it's that same promotion as well to make sure that he becomes the number one story and knocks James Harden off the headline.
Trust me, LeBron knows what he's doing. And here he is, sitting out, being silent, watching coaching rumors fly, not talking about getting back, excited to get back, not defending Luke Walton, none of it. He's silent. What do you think is going on with the Lakers? I mean it. What do you think is going on? This is what's going on.
Yay.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
We talked a little bit about Todd Gurley. And when I said to Jay, I said, Jay, what's up with him? You know, he was healthy, then he wasn't, and he didn't play as much in the NFC Championship game. What's going on with him? Jay said, I honestly think he was healthy. The tendonitis was okay. You know, the inflammation, rather, in his knee that he had in the beginning of the year, it flared up, so they rested him towards the end. He was healthy. He was healthy in Dallas. He was healthy for New Orleans, but they just rode the hot hand in C.J. Anderson. When you couple that with Sean McVay from today saying it's up to him to get Todd Gurley going, you know what the biggest thing going to the Super Bowl is going
to
be.
You want to be able to give Todd more opportunities. And, you know, he can only do so much when you get four attempts carrying the football and a couple opportunities where it's just not real clean looks. Anytime that you have a player like Todd Gurley on your team, you know, I've got to do a better job of, getting him involved. Not only is he a great player, he's extremely smart, works hard. He represents what's right about how you handle yourself as a teammate, as a leader. And you love being around guys like that.
So obviously he says, look, I have to get Todd Gurley going. The key to this Super Bowl is not going to be Tom Brady, because you know Brady's going to play well when he has to. It's not going to be Jared Goff. It's not going to be Aaron Donald. It's not going to be Julian Edelman. It's not. The key to the game is going to be Todd Gurley, because C.J. Anderson is not going to run wild on the Patriots like he did the last couple of weeks. He's not going to be the one in there at the end of the game when they're trying to control the clock like he was previously. They're not going to win with him. If Todd Gurley is healthy and running well, the Rams will win the Super Bowl. But he's the key to everything, because if not, the Patriots can find enough magic and razzle-dazzle to slow the Rams down enough, turn them one-dimensional, and it will take the Rams a while to get going. All the while, the Patriots are putting some points on the board and hopefully building a lead, and they're hopeful to win a shootout and keep it close near the end. But Todd Gurley is the key. If they can't stop Todd Gurley, the Rams will control the football, and Brady's not going to have as many chances, and the Rams will win. But if not, the Patriots will be able to do what they want to enough, so by the time the Rams recover, like it was kind of like the NFC Championship game where they struggled in the first half and they got it going in the second half, by the time that happens, it'll wind up being too late. Todd Gurley is the key to the game, because he runs, and suddenly anything the Rams want to do on offense, it's a hell of a lot easier. And they're up and down the field, and the Patriots defense is getting tired, and it's going to be points, points, points for the Rams.
Well, and that's part of it, is just the differences between Anderson and Gurley in terms of how you approach your play calling and what they can do. And as much as I celebrate C.J. Anderson as a guy who's probably needs to do the 2 or 3 weeks of no carb, no sugar, and get myself leaned out, I'll call it what it is. He's the bigger back, and I'm not, no denigrating commentary with that. It's been effective. He's gotten it done. What he doesn't do is catch the ball out of the backfield. He's got 108 receptions for his career. Todd Gurley had 59 this year. That's a complexion in the offense with Gurley in there that changes up your formations, changes up how you can utilize your back and what it does for Jared Goff and the different looks you can give to disguise plays and work downfield against the Patriots defense. That's where the biggest difference is when Anderson is on the field versus when Gurley is. So the question all along is, you know, how much is hot hand and rope-a-dope and whatever, you know, keep Gurley fresh, thinking, all right, we get there, we got another 2 weeks, whatever's left of the knee injury should be resolved, right? He was asked about practice today. Lindsay Theory asked him, and he laughed, and he did the Iverson. I mean, we're talking about practice kind of thing, so that was fun. But that's the change in the offense, is that, you know, you can get creative if you're McVay a little more frequently and probably with more success to keep New England, you know, off on their heels if Gurley's back in the game as opposed to Anderson.
And the thing is, though, you're still going to need those meat and potatoes plays. Gurley for 7, Gurley for 8. Yeah, it's nice to get on the ball to the backfield, but he's got to be the guy that punishes and gets first downs and puts them in second and short and third and short instead of here's second and long and third and long. I mean, it's not that Gurley's got to go crazy and you got to have a 220-yard day from the guy, but you need Todd Gurley, best running back in the NFL. You need Todd Gurley to be Todd Gurley. And the last couple of weeks makes me really nervous because he wasn't the guy out there when they needed yards. He didn't play, I think, for the entire third quarter against the Saints. It was C.J. Anderson. And I know that Jay Glazer said, you know, they rode the hot hand, and that's great. That's not going to work against the Patriots because the Patriots are going to out-scheme you. No matter how good a coach you are, Sean McVay is a phenomenal coach. You are not out-scheming Bill Belichick. You need to be able to out-athlete the Patriots, and the Rams can. They have the personnel to out-athlete and out-football the Patriots. But that's what you need Todd Gurley to be. Hey, there's nothing we can do. No matter what kind of schemes you draw up, if Todd Gurley's on his game, then you're not going to stop the Rams' offense. They're going to get down the field. Brandon Cooks is going to catch a lot of passes. They're going to find a way to find Woods. That's just how it's going to go. Goff is going to have a big day. It's not going to be cold out, so he's going to be fine, and everything is going to work great, and the Rams are going to be, boy, this is what they were like all season long. But if Gurley can't do that, even that, the meat and potatoes type stuff, because, you know, like I said, C.J. Anderson has been a revelation, right? It's been great. The last 4 or 5 weeks, they signed him late off the street. The guy wasn't getting snaps in Carolina.
Well, sure. Christian McCaffrey wouldn't come off the field.
Yeah, he's on his third team now, and he's been a nice revelation. But he's not somebody where you can say, all right, we're going to ride him for 2 or 3 possessions in a row. Not in the Super Bowl, not against New England.
Well, the other piece that comes into play here as we get into a little bit of the game analysis is also you saw what New England was able to do against a really good Kansas City offensive line in terms of controlling the line of scrimmage. That's one of the big tests for this Rams offense that the last few weeks, right, ever since Jared Goff was seeing ghosts running up behind him in Chicago, that offensive line will be taxed here. And certainly he may be under duress a little bit more, much like Mahomes was a week ago, that perhaps that changes the complexion and the arrival and reinsertion of Gurley at a larger rate can mitigate a little bit of that as well.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Tonight, we will have the last conversations about the no pass interference call on the Saints in the NFC Championship game. Earlier today, Miguel Roby Coleman was fined $26,000 for the helmet-to-helmet hit that wasn't flagged at the end of the Saints game against the Rams, where had the flag been thrown like it should have been for pass interference or helmet-to-helmet, Saints would have killed the clock, would have kicked a field goal to go ahead, and probably would have gone on to the Super Bowl. But at this point, this is the best thing I can do. All week long, we've heard this story. Lawmakers want to play the game again.
Politicians doing everything they can to get their name ready for the next balloting.
The government is reopened at least some way for a couple of weeks, and still Louisiana politicians are you know, throwing up signs going, look at what happened to us in the NFC Championship game. But let's be constructive. Let's be absolutely 100% helpful. Saints fans, and I Seahawks fans are going to be able to tell you this, fan bases all across the Globe are going to be able to tell you this. You need to find the new normal as a sports fan, because this happened and you have to find a way to deal with it. Go support the Pelicans. You find a way to deal with it because you will think about this game every day, probably for the rest of your life. At some way, shape, or form, this will pop into your head. As a Jets fan, I'm still seeing Doug Bryan missing two field goals in the NFC Championship.
Sure.
I'm still seeing Emmanuel Sanders catch that running little pass when we were going to get the ball back and beat the Steelers to win the AFC Championship game back in 2010. I didn't get any redo.
I'm still seeing Marion Barber III run out of bounds.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, buddy. That
Remember that? An extended Tebow's run.
As much as all of these things are painful, at least you're not Seahawks fans who live every day knowing we should have one more Super Bowl. We should have one more Super Bowl. Every day the rest of your life, you will think about the no pass interference call on Tommy Lee Lewis, and you will have to be able to be enough of a fan to know that, okay, I can live with it and it not just incredibly piss me off and put me in a bad mood.
Let me pull back for a second. You brought up the Seahawks. Which stings worse and comes up first? The interception or just officiating in Super Bowl 40 against the Steelers?
No, the interception. It was one play. All you do is run the ball. Run the ball one play.
Yeah, but you thought it was a giant conspiracy against you in the other.
But it was okay. It was a bad call on Roethlisberger's touchdown, but it would have made it 4th-and-1. It didn't mean it turned the ball over. The holding penalty on Hasselbeck was after he threw an interception. So it's not like all these things happened and, they would have won because of it. These things did happen, but it wasn't like, this absolutely cost me the game. This holding penalty that negated what would have been a nice lob. You get holding penalties called on you. It happens that way. All right, so that's not nearly what this was.
They still gave up 45 yards.
You win the Super Bowl.
They still gave up 45 yards to allow for the game-tying field goal.
They did, and they had the ball first.
And they had the ball first.
I get it.
And they turned it over, and they made Dante Fowler a hero.
I get it.
And his name stood out amongst all these stars here in Los Angeles that they'd brought in. I'm with you. They got to find a new normal. Every fan base has those. Every work environment. Every project that you've been on as a student, there's always something, some setback. Maybe you dropped your snack pack. I don't know. Whatever it is, you got to overcome it.
And buy an Anthony Davis jersey.
There's that. Well, no, you don't want to do that, though, because he can be gone too, right?
Future Laker. Yeah, well.
One of many future Lakers.
Well, they're all coming, Harmon. You know it.
You know, while you can. Do it right now while you can.
You can get a Julius Randle.
That's all. But just realize.
Miritich.
This is the only thing you can do, is find your new normal as a fan.
And just remember, it's not your fault.
No, it's not. It's not, because it's good, like I said.
And don't be duped into voting for the loudest politician during all this either.
I'm being serious when I say you're going to think about this every day. Every day you're going to it's going to pop into your head at an odd moment, and you're going to think, I went today without thinking about it. Nope, you're going to think about it.
Yeah.
So just realize.
Everybody's got those things in their lives.
It happened, and it's what you have to do.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
And then Michael Strahan decided, I will do it, but I'm going to challenge some people too. And the first person he challenged was the man joining us now on the hotline, NFL on Fox insider extraordinaire, Jay Glazer, who tweeted out he was about to start his all-gluten diet, but now has to change things. Jay, look, Monday night we're going to have sugar, we're going to have carbs when you're in studio with us. You can't start this diet now.
Well, I never agreed to do this gluten diet. That's
good.
The thing. Well, and then, the first thing I said was, is beer a carb? Just asking for a friend.
I mean,
if it is, I'm totally screwed.
Yeah, especially during Super Bowl week, that's not going to happen.
Why are you pulling me into your challenges, Strahan? Leave me alone. I mean, I've done enough for our friendship over the years. Jeez. And then you saw the gal from Saturday Night Live. She was hilarious. She just tweeted out, bleep, nah.
Leslie Jones in the mix as well, yeah.
She took the words right out of my mouth. I'm like, hey, guys. You guys do your own little challenge here. I'm good with my 10-day beer challenge.
Yeah. What's the 10-day beer challenge?
Now that's something we could get behind, Jay.
Wait, what's that, Jay? What's your idea?
It's where I get somebody else to buy me beer for 10 straight days.
Oh, I like that. Oh, you can challenge me. I'll do that. I like that one.
Hey,
that's a good one.
We can all have dreams, kids. We can all have dreams.
That's it. Dream big. That's what it's all about. You know, some kids dream of playing in the Super Bowl. Right now we're looking at 10 days. Because the key is to get people to buy you beers, not just drink beer, because that's easy.
Right. Look. I challenge you guys to the Jay Glazer 10 Beer Challenge, which is just created 14 seconds ago. Get somebody to buy you beer for 10 straight days. Now, that's a fad I can get behind.
All right. I know many people would call Jay Glazer a hero. I think he falls in that category.
He's a pioneer.
I think that's what it is. And maybe we'll try that Monday night when Jay's in studio with us. We'll start that Monday.
I change lives. That's what I do on the show. I change lives.
That's it.
Follow him on Twitter at Jay Glazer. Jay doing wonderful things, of course. Vetsandplayers.org. We'll have more on that coming up in a couple of seconds. But here we are, Jay. We're getting ready for the Super Bowl, and still, you know, obviously that carb challenge is a big deal. But still, we're still talking about the pass interference with the Saints and the Rams. You know, we're still seeing all of these players come out. Ben Watson had a big tweet about it. Sean Payton has been quoted in the last 24 hours that he talked to people in the NFL, but that's going to be it. You're close with him. What's he really going through right now?
Oh, no, they're beside themselves. You know, look, it's unfortunate because it's bad for both teams because the Saints clearly did enough to win, but the Rams did enough to win. And all we're talking about is this. So it's just like, you just kind of want to respect the win, but it's hard when there's such – I mean, it's hard to get over the noise when there's obviously such a blatant no-call right there. And it's just, man, you want to see somebody beat another team. You don't want to see somebody lose because of something like this. And, look, we've been talking about the officials more and more and more, and it's got really out of control and how they – you know, how they kind of handle it. And I think – look, when Dean Blandino was there and head of officiating, he straight out was, we screwed up. We messed up. And it was just a different way they handled it. You know, I think obviously the league is saying that, they blew the call because they fined the DB for the Rams for helmet to helmet. But it was just, I don't know, there was just something when Dean was there that was, I think the answer is, you know, that job that Al Riveron has, the worst therapist job in the world, because every team, GM, head coach, they call you even after wins. Even if they're watching Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football, or if they play Thursday and they're watching Sunday Football, they'll call and complain about calls that aren't even part of their game because it's just such a lack of consistency. And you really got to soothe them. And if you don't have the type of guy in there to soothe them, their anger is just going to continue to boil throughout the season. That's exactly what happened this year with Al Riveron.
Well, Jay, we talked with Mike Pereira a few days ago, and his response, I said, hey, how about you take that job back? He goes, well, Rupert has to give me the network and a winery.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He won't be going back. But the curiosity,
you know,
though.
You know, Mike, here's my crazy idea.
Let's hear it.
Here's my idea. I've actually brought this up to people in the league. And I have a lot of crazy ideas, except for the Jay Glazer 10-day beer
No, that's the best idea you've ever had.
That's a movement.
You wipe out the entire officiating department and you bring in nothing but special ops guys. Because those are guys that are used to, you know, bullets are flying. They know how to think on the fire, you know, and then they know how to kind of deal with conflict there. And, you know, I was first saying it, and I'm like, the more I thought about it, I'm like, that's actually who they need in those situations. Guys who can physically keep up and be in the right spot. Guys who can think when things in split seconds, and then guys who can deal with conflict. And that's not what we have from the officiating department. So at first I brought up thinking it's a crazy idea, but now I don't think it's so crazy. I think it's actually a solution. They're not going to do it, but I think it's a solution.
Well, certainly between being able to keep up with the players on the field and then, worried about technology, Jay. But the other side of this is the silence of Roger Goodell, and he's – really been in hiding for much of the year. I guess we see him at his State of the Union where he'll tell me about concussions being down and ratings being up and all, but how's he going to sidestep this?
But that's the thing. Well, he'll be at the Super Bowl next week and he'll answer it. But I think, look, there's stuff throughout the year that happened. And people, you know, like you said, it's not really been how he's done things in the past. He's not really come out and said week by week whatever the controversy is, hasn't done that. It's always from the league office. It's usually just not from Roger. So in a situation like this, yeah, the Saints have turned up some pressure. I think that had the league come out and said, hey, our fishing department, we missed this call, I think the Saints then would have they wouldn't have continued to turn up the heat. I think that's just what you want. You just want almost like a public apology. Okay, I'm good. And then they didn't get it. And look, just, you know, part of it also is the Saints have lost 2 years in a row in such heartbreaking fashion. Now, it's going to be a difficult thing for them to move past, because it's like, oh my gosh, are we snakebitten? Even if they're just, again, they're the number one seed, it will make you go in the next postseason questioning yourself.
Jay Glazer with us. Follow him on Twitter at Jay Glazer, NFL on Fox Insider. Jay, before we get to the actual Super Bowl Rams and the Patriots, let me just ask you this. Better chance, what happens? You do the 10-day no sugar, no carb diet, or they replay the NFC Championship game again?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. Don't know if I can answer that question honestly.
Sophie's choice right there.
Let's go here now a little bit. We saw Sean McVay say today that, you know, it's up to him to get Todd Gurley going. And to me, this is such a big mystery that's going to gain more and more attention as we get into next week. The actual health of Todd Gurley and why he's not gotten going. You know, what are you hearing? What are you seeing about him?
So Todd Gurley's knee is something that happened early in the season, very early. And he has this knee condition all the way back from college. Well, at the end of the season, it just started getting really inflamed. So they decided, let's shut him down. We'd rather have him rest for the postseason and, you know, get that inflammation out. Going into that game against the Cowboys, inflammation was completely gone. Healthiest he had really been in quite some time. Got it going against the Cowboys. Even that game, it took him a little while. They split with him and C.J. Anderson. It took him a little while to kind of get going. And then same here. I think it's just I think this kind of was, let's go with the hot hand, because Todd made some mistakes early in that game, had some drop balls. It was like, hey, it's C.J. Anderson. He's the hot hand right now. And it's not so much about, hey, let's just make sure our ones get the right reps. It's let's make sure we're rolling and this offense is going.
Obviously, Jay Glazer in with us Monday. We'll be chatting up all Super Bowl week, getting you ready. But heading to Atlanta, Jay, you got a lot with vetsandplayers.org. You just reopened the center there in Atlanta recently. How's that going? What do you got planned for the big week?
Well, I got my Glazerpalooza Super Bowl party there Wednesday night to help raise money for MVP. And then we're having an MVP session Thursday afternoon. If you're a combat vet or an ex-player, athlete, pro athlete, listen to this, go on to vetsandplayers.org. We have it 1:30 to 3:30 in Atlanta at our normal spot. It's going to be great. It'll be hosted by me, Nate Boyer, Dan Quinn, Brian Stan, who's fought for years and also won the Silver Star for the Marines. Man, there'll be a ton of veteran rock stars who are there and kind of athletes. And it's a bunch of badasses empowering other badasses.
And there will be carbs there and sugar as well.
Plenty of it.
Okay. Yes.
Jay, as always, buddy, thanks so much. Look forward to having you Monday night. Hey, give me what's your one request you want food-wise for Monday? What do you want?
I'd like some lard, some beer, some sugar, some sweet and low, and some Sour Patch Kids.
Done.
Frostburg's got it all. Buddy, we'll see you on Monday, my friend.
Appreciate it, man.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.